The Stones of the Village by Alice Dunbar Nelson. Victor Grabert strode down the one wide tree-shaded street of the village, his heart throbbing with a bitterness and anger that seemed too great to bear. So often had he gone home in the same spirit, however, that it had grown nearly second nature to him, this dull, sullen resentment flaming out now and then into almost murderous vindictiveness. Behind him there floated derisive laughs and shouts, the taunts of little brutes, boys of his own age. He reached the tumble-down cottage at the farther end of the street and flung himself on the battered step. Grandmère Grabert sat rocking herself to and fro, crooning a bit of song brought over from the West Indies years ago. But when the boy sat silent, his head bowed in his hands, she paused in the midst of a line and regarded him with keen, piercing eyes.
Victor?
She asked. That was all, but he understood. He raised his head and waved a hand angrily down the street towards the lighted square that marked the village center.
"Dos boy," he gulped.
Grandmère Grabert laid a sympathetic hand on his black curls, but withdrew it the next instant.
"Bien," she said angrily. "For what you go by them, eh? Why not keep to yourself? They don't want you. They don't care for you. Ain't you got no sense?" "Oh, but Grandmère," he wailed piteously. "I want for to play."
The old woman stood up in the doorway, her tall, spare form towering menacingly over him.
"You want for to play, eh? For why? You don't need no play. Dos boy."
She swept a magnificent gesture down the street. "They fools."
"If I could play with,"
began Victor, but his grandmother caught him by the wrist and held him as in a vice.
"Hush," she cried. "You must be going crazy."
And still holding him by the wrist, she pulled him indoors. It was a two-room house, bare and poor and miserable. But never had it seemed so meager before to Victor as it did this night. The supper was frugal almost to the starvation point. They ate in silence, and afterwards Victor threw himself on his cot in the corner of the kitchen and closed his eyes. Grandmère Grabert thought him asleep and closed the door noiselessly as she went into her own room. But he was awake, and his mind was like a shifting kaleidoscope of miserable incidents and heartaches. He had lived 14 years, and he could remember most of them as years of misery. He had never known a mother's love, for his mother had died, so he was told, when he was but a few months old. No one ever spoke to him of a father, and Grandmère Grabert had been all to him. She was kind, after a stern, unloving fashion, and she provided for him as best she could. He had picked up some sort of an education at the parish school. It was a good one after its way, but his life there had been such a succession of miseries that he rebelled one day and refused to go anymore. His earliest memories were clustered about this poor little cottage. He could see himself toddling about its broken steps, playing alone with a few broken pieces of china, which his fancy magnified into glorious toys. He remembered his first whipping, too. Tired one day of the loneliness which even the broken china could not mitigate, he had toddled out the side gate after a merry group of little black and yellow boys of his own age. When Grandmère Grabert, missing him from his accustomed garden corner, came to look for him, she found him sitting contentedly in the center of the group in the dusty street, all of them gravely scooping up handfuls of the gravelly dirt and trickling it down their chubby bare legs. Grandmère snatched at him fiercely, and he whimpered, for he was learning for the first time what fear was.
"What you mean?" she hissed at him. "What you mean playing in the street with those niggers?"
And she struck at him wildly with her open hand.